Hello, hello. Welcome to Generation Psychic on Jackalope Radio. This is your host, Mooncat. How are you today? So one of my main hats that I wear as an esoteric, as a Generation Psychic participant, is that of an astrologer. So the first half of our hour together, I'm going to explain some astrological principles. And then the second half of our time today, I'm going to explain about the ingress into Aries that's happening shortly, that already started, that's happening tomorrow, and that's coming up in the next week and a half and then several days beyond. So be prepared for a fiery, energized motion. And essentially, like I said, it's already begun. But be here now. Let's begin with an introduction, I suppose, would be in order. My name is Mooncat. I've been an astrologer I've been studying astrology for 25 years. I've been a professional astrologer offering it to you, the world, for 17 years. Please join me at my website, catoverthemoon.com. I write an astrology blog, and you can join the list and be on the blog, read the blog there, as well as read my little astrological introduction. Okay, the first thing I wanted to go over, and this is the most important, is everybody has an answer. Each and every one of us is a walking blueprint of the roadmap of where the planets were the moment we came into being. Now, most people are familiar with what their sun sign is, and that is indeed an important point. The sun sign is our sole purpose. It's what we are here to do. But in actuality, the strongest astrological point is actually our rising sign, and the rising sign is based on the time of day that you were born. What we have is two different motions happening simultaneously. Where the Earth is in its orbit gives us what our sun sign is, because the Earth is actually the one doing the moving, but because we stand upon it, we experience it as a still point, and we perceive the sun is moving, and that's why the sun goes across the ecliptic of the zodiac. Whatever zodiac sign the sun is in, the Earth is actually in its opposite sign, making the motion. But the rising sign is based on the time of day. It's based on the rotation of the Earth. The rising sign is exactly the shadow line on the eastern horizon where the dark meets the light. And how that describes us as beings is it's what we look like, it's our general appearance, it's our personality, it's how other people perceive us, it's how we perceive ourselves, it's how we act. And so it's this filter of the rising sign, and mind you, during the course of a day, the Earth rotates all the way around, and so it goes through all of the possibility of signs. So any sun sign can be mixed with any rising sign. So there's no limitations to the possible combinations that can occur within within those two answers. But the rising sign becomes actually more important because it's more visible. It's how we act on the surface. It's how other people can see us. So it's a more overt in its presentation than our sun sign. Our sun sign is actually a little bit more hidden because it's our inner motivation. And how we bring it through is through the costume of our rising sign. And so if you've ever read the prediction or read the articles about your sun sign and you thought to yourself, that doesn't really sound like me all the way, well, you're correct, because it's not you all the way. There's so many other aspects to what astrology can say about who you are. And those are just two of them. Alongside that, we also, every planet within our solar system has a definition and has a location of where it's at. And so we have a Mercury sign, we have a Venus sign, we have a Mars sign, we have a Jupiter sign, we have a Saturn sign, we have a Chiron sign, we have a Uranus sign, we have a Neptune sign, and we have a Pluto sign. Now, not only are all of those in a particular sign, in a location, but they're also placed around the wheel of the chart according to that Earth's rotation. And the wheel of the chart is sliced into 12 pieces. They're not necessarily equal because we're dealing with astronomical angles here. And the Earth is a sphere. So the further north or south you are, the wider some angles become and the narrower other angles become. The closer you are to the equator, the more equal It is. Equator, equal. Go figure. So anyway, it's all of these definitions put together that becomes our astrological blueprint. The sign that each one of the planets are in, as well as the location that it emerges out of. And again, here we have a little misperception, and that is... what sign a planet is, what house a planet is placed in is actually, again, more overt than what sign it's in. Because the house is how it emerges, how it works itself out, how it appears, what you do with it. So all these layers kind of coincide and combine and blend together so that we become the unique a ball of circumstances that we are. We become this unique expression of all of this data combined. And so to just think of yourself by the one parameter, hello, I'm a Sagittarius, that is extremely limited, because the real truth is that it goes much, much further than just that singular answer. And so first and foremost, I definitely wanted to convey that you are more than your sun sign. Ooh, please know that. Now, in addition to that, astrology works in many, many layers. However, that first initial core answer, the chart that is created, and a chart is literally a planetary roadmap. It's a circle with a bunch of numbers on it. The numbers represent measurement, angular measurement. It's in circular form because the planets are orbiting. We're living in a circular universe. They're moving in a circular pattern. And so we're dealing with a 360-degree system. It's a circular system, not a linear system. And so we can say that Pluto is right next to the sun, and of course in scientific reality, we know linearly that's not the case. The sun is over here and Pluto is way out there. But angularly, they can indeed be side by side. See what I'm saying? And so 360-degree system, circular system, and so it's a different way of applied mathematics. It's circular mathematics as opposed to linear. So the fact that Pluto is, you know, so many miles out there, and, you know, Uranus and Neptune and those way far-reaching planets are so many miles away, that's irrelevant to the astrological system, because what's important is the angle from one planetary energy to another, and the comparison of those angles. Okay, so beyond that point, initially our core, that initial chart that's cast, specific to the moment of our birth, that's the answer that we carry through life. And so what we do is we combine every future moment, or we bounce off every future moment, off of that initial mathematical grid. And so that core answer remains our core truth. But on top of that, we have to keep in mind the planets never stopped moving. Even after that moment, they continued going on. We are a unique snapshot of time where, you know, we're like a physical manifestation of a stopped moment. But in truth, the moment never stopped. And so as the planets continue to move, they circle around, we plot them back into that circular grid, that circular chart, that circular roadmap, and that shows us where they are in conjunction to our own unique experience. And so even though you're sitting here in the now, and I'm sitting here in the now, how we experience this now is uniquely different one person to another in our expression, because the now depends on the then. It depends on that initial moment that we all started. We're actually a lot more similar to other people who have the same rising sign than we are to people who have the same sun sign as us. So note that. In fact, if you want to keep it simple and you want to walk into a party and say convey the most astrological information that you can using the least amount of data, announce your rising sign, because that says so much more about you. Not only does it explain your personality, but it sets up the wheel all the way around the chart. The signs go in order. And so if you tell me your rising sign, I'm going to know what sign rules your second house, because it's going to be the next sign. What sign rules your third house, because it's going to be the sign after that. They go in order around the wheel. So by announcing to me your your rising sign, you're actually dictating a lot more data than not. Whereas if you just say your sun sign, it's open. Your sun could be placed anywhere around the wheel. There's a lot more that could be found out or said. And so really it's that rising sign that conveys the greater truth or the greater idea. So I wanted to also explain different possibilities of how astrology can inform you. Now, first of all, one of my strongest pieces of advice is to tell people to know yourself. Know yourself. Know your own answer. Now, astrology is an ancient tool. It's been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and where it came from, it's not exactly determined. However, I use it as practical application. The fact that its history is vague is irrelevant to what it has to say or the truth that it has to convey. So practical application of the system becomes important. So anyway, for those of you who want to learn more about astrology, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's easier to start with learning your own answer and, you know, learning the specifics within your own answer, and then you can branch out from that knowledge rather than going the other way around. To learn about the whole of astrology and then go backwards and find your answer, you're kind of like putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. So start with yourself and build outward from that moment. Okay? So our natal chart is the core answer or the core truth that we carry through life. The energies that are contained. The natal is birth. Natal, the word natal means the word birth. And so that's the moment that we were birthed into this being. That's the moment that we cast the planetary roadmap of. But on top of that, like I said, the planets are always moving. They're transiting around the circle. And so where the planets are around the circle tells us what's happening in our life. Now, the circle is an exact mathematically measured grid. It's very precise. Astrology is the most scientifically exact of all of the esoteric arts and sciences because it deals with precision mathematical data. Do you have to understand math? Do you have to be a math person to know astrology? No, not necessarily, because thankfully these days it's the modern era. We've got tools that do the math for us. I am extremely thankful for my laptop that will cast the chart for me. Otherwise, astrologers back in the day, it would have taken them weeks, if not months, to do all the mathematical computations that would have been required. But thankfully, in modern day, we've got computers and calculators to do the work for us. Yay, team, go forward. Okay, so how we use astrology as a predictive tool is specific to where planets occur in our chart. And how it can be predictive is because planets all move at constant speed. We know where they are now. We know where they were in the past, last week, last month, last year, any time between now and when you were born. You can look backwards and look up the answers of where things were at the time. And given that planets move at constant speed, you can look forward as well. You can look forward in time. You can see what's happening next week. You can see what's happening next year. You can look up and see what happens 40 years from now when you're older. There's all kinds of possibilities at what you can look at. And it's where the planet appears around the chart, what house it's transiting through, that's where its energy emerges. Now, some planetary transits are fast. The moon goes all the way around the system. I realize the moon isn't a planet, but in astrological terms, it's a planetary body. So, no, we don't need to split hairs there. But anyway, the moon goes completely around the wheel of the chart every 28 days. And so it just takes a couple days for it to go across each one of the segments of the chart. So the moon, which conveys our emotions, our intuitions, our feelings, and our relationship with the women in our life, the moon kind of constantly changes every few days. Whereas looking at the opposite end of the spectrum, Pluto takes 248 years to go all the way around the circle. Therefore, it takes anywhere from 12 to 14 to 15 years, depending on the width of the angle, or more, depending on the width of the angle, to go across a single house. And so when Pluto makes a shift or a change, it conveys a much longer period of time. The closer the planet is inward to the sun, the faster it moves. Generally, the quick planets are considered the personality planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. Mercury goes through a house every 3 weeks or so, and again, the width of the house changes depending on the angle of the longitude and latitude of where where you were born. That's part of the mathematical calculation. There's a lot of math in here. But don't be afraid if you're not a math person, because we've got the modern day computer tools to cast the math for us. We just have to learn what it's telling us, that's all. And you don't even have to learn that. Your astrologer will tell you. So it's okay. I'll tell you. So you're fine. So no mathematical fears. No worries. Okay, but Mercury is relatively quick. When Mercury makes a shift or a change, you know, it's going to shift to the next thing just a few weeks later. And Venus is the same response, a little bit longer than Mercury, but thereabouts, you know, a month, 5 weeks, thereabouts. And then Mars is a little bit longer than that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, thereabouts is when it, you know, goes through a segment of different aspects of our life. But once we get beyond the orbit of Jupiter, or once we get to Jupiter and then beyond that, I should say, that's when the time frame gets a little bit longer. Jupiter takes about 11 years to go, or does take 11 years to go all the way around the circle. Therefore, it takes, you know, about a year, up to a year, a little bit less, a little bit more, to go through a segment of time. And so once, starting with Jupiter and then further out from there, planets take longer going through a segment of time. So they kind of set up eras of your life experience. Jupiter goes year to year to year. Saturn, which is the next planet out from Jupiter, takes about 2 to 3 years to go through a singular house. And so that sets up an even longer period of time. Chiron, which is the next planet out from Saturn, takes about 5 to 7 years. And again, specific to the angle of the chart. How long it takes is going to be very specific to each individual chart that we cast. Each person is going to have a little bit of a different answer of what that conveys or entails. So, and then beyond that, they get even longer. Chiron next up is Uranus. Uranus takes about 8 years to get across the segment of time. So we're talking up to a decade here, which is a long time in our experience. Neptune would be next. Neptune takes about 11 years to go across the segment of time. And so, again, it involves a deeper, slower moving process. And it's these slow moving processes, when they make a shift or a change, we notice it more overtly because of it's such, you know, we just spent 11 years doing this, now we're spending 11 years doing that. And so it really, you know, these longer term planets, when you're in the middle of that 11 year cycle, you don't necessarily feel it so strongly. But when it's getting close to making the change, that's when our life has little psychological earthquakes. See what I'm saying? So, and then Pluto, of course, would be the longest to go around the wheel. We do not experience a Pluto return in a single lifetime, because it takes 248 years to go all the way around. We do not experience a Neptune return in a single lifetime. It takes, forgive me, I think 164 years to go around, more than 100 anyway, so to go all the way around the wheel. So we don't experience that return. Now, what a return is, let me describe that. A return is when a planet has gone all the way around the sun and returns to that same exact mathematical position that it was the moment you were born. That is represented within you and within your life. Now, a return becomes significant because if we plot the moment of the return, and there's always an exact time frame that it passes the exact mathematical position, and if you grab that time frame and cast a chart for that moment, and then specifically read, you know, the location and if there's any angles causing influence on the planet that you're looking at, that chart becomes a deeper answer for whichever return you're looking at. Now, specifically, three of the main returns that we speak of or that we calculate or know about are, and there's more than three, obviously, every single one of them has a return eventually, but the fastest of which is the moon. The moon moves around every 28 days, And so once a month, you get what's called a lunar return. And if you cast the chart for that moment, that kind of, the answer of that chart sets up your emotional grid for the month. It sets up your emotional experience for the month. Now, the most common return that we look at is the solar return. That happens every month coinciding with your birthday. As the sun has gone completely around the wheel, and it crosses its, and again, remembering the sun isn't moving, really it's the earth that's moving, but because we're standing on the earth, we experience it as a still point, and we perceive the sun is moving. Just wanted to clarify that. Anyway, when we cast the chart for the moment of the solar return, and again, there's a specific moment in time that that happens, cast it specific year to year to year, and part of the calculation, you also put in the new location that you might be in, just in case you move from where you were born, which a lot of people have. Some people haven't, I recognize that, but a lot of people have changed or gone somewhere else from where they were born. So if you cast the chart for that moment, that chart becomes the blueprint or becomes the answer to what your year ahead is about. I always look at solar returns. They become very important. So all of these answers coincide, even if they seem to be saying conflicting things, or even if they seem to be saying different things. All of the underlying answers still have something to tell us. The transits, where the planets are around our particular natal chart, what house they're in, and then as well, if they're making specific angles to the planet, you know, to where they were initially. And the planet, it doesn't have to just make an angle with itself. You know, one of the moving planets can make an angle with any other planet inside the circle. And there's specific angles that have greater meaning, because obviously they're making some sort of an angle at any given moment. But a 0-degree angle when they're lined up together, a 60-degree angle, a 90-degree angle, a 120-degree angle, a 180-degree angle, those are the main angular thrusts that we look at and we find meaning out of and we find definition out of. So, and then the third major return chart that everybody seems to know about is the Saturn return. That is life's maturing point. It seems like, you know, we think we hit maturity when we hit our 20s, but really that's kind of a false positive, if you will. The true maturing point is after you pass your Saturn return, because that's what Saturn is all about, maturity, kind of what I want to be when I grow up, hitting the empowerment years, having a clue, having strength, having a sense of professionalism or a sense of purpose or a sense of, you know, life is serious, let's get to work, let's get a move on and make this happen. And that happens around the age of 28. So it's really the end of your 20s that you really hit that maturing point. And Saturn tests us. It's a challenge. And so that's why it's so commonly known, because it tends to be a rough patch in life. And we get through it. It's not a pass-fail necessarily. It's a pass-pass. You face the challenge of it, you ride the wave through it, and then you emerge stronger because of it on the other side. See what I'm saying? So lunar return, emotional answer for the month. Solar return, kind of your blueprint for the year ahead. It's like having the teacher's answer key, if you will. And then Saturn return is that maturing point. Specifically, the house that Saturn returns in, that tells us something about what that experience is going to entail. And again, specifically, that house is going to be a product of the time of day that you were born. See, all of these different things, all of these different aspects come in and inform the process. But it doesn't stop there. We also can look at, there's a quality called a relocated chart or astrocartography. That's where you look at the world maps. Now, as you move east or west around the globe, you can change the influence of where your natal data appears. Now, the core truth is that your original natal chart is always your answer. But there's ways to change its influence. The further you move in either direction, the more you turn the wheel. If you go north or south, you're not really turning the wheel, because that doesn't move you in terms of the rotation of the Earth. It's as you go east or west. And you have to kind of make a big leap. You have to move at least two time zones in order to change planets by a single house in its influence. So the further you go, the more the more the influence changes, or the more you can shift the dialogue of your answer. And so if you pop off and go off to a foreign country from your country of origin, you can have a completely different experience from what your original core answer was. See, so you can manipulate your answer by specifically putting yourself into a different place. Okay, we're about to take a break now. When I return, I will continue on with this idea and then tell you about the ingress into Aries. Thank you for listening. This is Mooncat on Generation Psychic Jackalope Radio. Be right back.
Just dream, profoundly. So.
Okay, welcome back. This is Mooncat on Generation Psychic Radio, or pardon me, on Jackalope Radio, Generation Psychic. There we go. Got them all mixed together and blended. First of all, my main hat that I wear is an astrologer, and that's what our topic today is astrology. I've been talking about the influence of your natal chart, the influence of transits and returns. But I also wanted to go into the specifics of right now. Today is March 10th, 2011. And we are in an extremely dynamic time, or dynamic moment in time. Can you tell? I bet you can feel it. Let me explain why. I guess let me jump right. Oh, actually, first of all, please join me on my website, www.catoverthemoon.com. I write an astrology blog. You can read the entries of the blog there. You can join the list so that you get the blog directly as I post them. And then you can also, my contact information is on there so that you can get a reading directly. Know yourself is my absolute best astrological advice. Know yourself. Know your own answer, get your own chart interpreted, and know the details of what you hold within you. Absolutely. Bar none, start there. Okay, so we're in this amazing dynamic time shift, and the reason being is that we've got the planet of the revolution itself, Uranus, is about to move into the sign of Aries, and it's doing so tomorrow afternoon, March 11th, 2011, at 5:49 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, Uranus ingresses into the sign of Aries. Now, Aries is the true zodiacal beginning. And so any time a planet crosses from Pisces into Aries, literally it's crossing, it's ending the old cycle from the, you know, the bigger picture. It's ending the old cycle and beginning a fresh new cycle. Aries is about energy. It's about coming out of yourself. It's about being in motion. It's about action. It's about directness, assertiveness, the fire within kind of emerging and coming forth. Now, the planet that's doing this movement, this is the ruler of the age of Aquarius. Uranus is the planet that rules the sign of, or is ruled by the sign of Aquarius, I should say it that way. Uranus is the revolution. It's change. It's discovery. It's kind of thinking about or perceiving the larger picture, the having an effect on the greater movement in front of us. It involves mass consciousness. It involves humanity. It involves scientific discovery that blasts humanity forward. And so Uranus has a great responsibility in terms of the humanitarian movement. And now, mind you, it stays in a sign approximately every 8 years. It shifts from one sign to the next, to the next. But the reason this moment becomes so much more significant is because it's passing go, basically. It's ending the old cycle, the old 84-year cycle, and it's beginning the brand new 84-year cycle. It takes 84 years to go through all 12 of the signs, starting here, starting now with Aries. Now, mind you, as I said, this is tomorrow, which means right now we are in the final few hours of Uranus being in Pisces. Pisces is the psychic sign. Pisces is the intuitive. Pisces is your relationship with your inner soul, your inner psychological dialogue, your Christ consciousness, or I like to refer to it as the inner Yoda. Pisces is the ability to kind of put your antenna clear up into the universe and emotionally or empathically vibe in to everybody else's emotional response. That can be a little bit overwhelming at times because it definitely makes us extremely sensitive. So don't be surprised if the next 24 hours of your experience you have wave after wave after wave of psychic intuitive experience. Your dreams might be going crazy, might be giving you symbolic detail one after another after another after another. Ride it, feed it, know it, interpret it, figure out what it's trying to tell you. And then tomorrow, March 11th, Put it into action. That's what Aries wants to do. Get ready for the whole world to pick up speed. Aries wants to be in motion. It's kind of like the runners of the zodiac. It wants to be in motion. It wants to come bursting out of itself. Now, every energy in astrology has positive and negative polarities. It's our personal responsibility as to which direction we take that. Aries and its negative response can be anger. It can be, you know, red-faced till you blow up and explode. It also is the call to war, which, again, clearly the world has kind of increased its footsteps in that direction. It doesn't mean it has to be totally overcome by that direction, because each one of us is responsible for the peace that we carry on our own path. But the potential for war is there, because that's one of the symbols of what Aries represents, the Lord of War. But it's also the Lord of Action, the Lord of Energy. You know, if nothing else, the whole world's about to get more exercise. You know, we're about to get a move on, get a motion, shake your thing, shake it. There we go. That B-52 song just popped into my brain there. Shake it till the, how does it go? I don't remember. Anyway, yay. But don't be limited in thinking that we have to succumb to anger, because we don't. We have to participate in motion. If we take it in a negative direction or a positive direction, that's our personal prerogative. We can do either one. We can respond in either way. Are we going to be proactive, or are we going to be reactive? Note the difference. Okay, now this energy towards Aries is actually already begun. The planet Jupiter, shoot, I didn't write that one down. Jupiter already entered Aries about a week and a half ago, or a little while ago, not very long ago. Jupiter is our philosophical stance. It's the truth that we follow. And so we've already begun this passage towards heightening our energy, heightening our response, heightening the motion of what we're doing and how we're going there, and the energy that we utilize to make it happen. And so kind of just do it, just do it, just do it, becomes the philosophy that holds us all together. And I remind you that Jupiter takes about a year to go through a sign, and so, you know, it'll be there for a little while. You know, shorter than the other planets, of course. But what heightens this even greater as well is that some of the personal planets as well are kind of right behind. Mercury, the thinker, is about to move into Aries. It just did. It did so the day before yesterday. It did so yesterday morning, on March 9th at 10:47 a.m. And that's specific to Mountain Standard Time, by the way. And so our thoughts, our words, our communications absolutely have picked up speed. They've gotten more right on, more real, more pointed, more powered. You know, the arrow is shooting off towards its target. Blam! So be prepared for the mental spin that definitely picks up the speed of our experience and our communications and our dialogue and our network and our just voracious need to know and understand and read and study and connect and listen and tune in. It's activating right now. And so that's also increasing the Aries experience. Now, shortly thereafter, we're almost at the birth of spring. The sun moving into the sign of Aries, that is the zodiacal rebirth, the zodiacal new beginning. The spring equinox is always the moment that the sun enters Aries. And this year, specific to 2011, that happens on March 20th at 5:21 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And so after that date, again, the Aryan influence, the speed, the assertiveness, the motion that we leap into action with will increase even more as well. The sun represents the light of day. It's what we can see right in front of us. It's what's happening right in front of our own experience. Now, and then further into the month of April, Mars as well will enter its own natural sign. And so during the month of April, which we're still a few weeks out from there, but once April gets fully here, there's going to be this big lineup of energy in Aries. And so bam, 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 expect motion. Expect energy. And like I said, be cautious, because it could be reactive anger, but it doesn't have to be. mind you, it doesn't have to be. We're all responsible for whether we take the planetary energy and process it in a positive way or in a negative way. It could go either one. It's our own personal prerogative as to which direction we choose. So whether we're being proactive or reactive against the situation, that's the difference, you see? Okay, so just prior to the sun's ingress into Aries, we actually have a heightened moment because the night before is the full moon, and the full moon happens to be in the previous sign, the very last degree of the sun being in Pisces, and the very last degree of the moon being in Virgo. And so the full moon, like shortly, just even within a few hours after the full moon celebration, the moon itself also moves into the opposing sign of Aries, which would be Libra. So the night before the vernal equinox, we have a heightened kind of soul psychic intuitive experience, the final moments of Pisces. So it seems contradictory that all these energies all happen at once, but it's not contradictory because each planet rules a different aspect of our life, and they all happen at the same time. So some planets can be pushing us forward while other planets are making us stop. And you know, that's why life is such a unique experience, because it does have these, you know, sometimes it does entail these contradictory ideas, and yet somehow within ourselves they're not really contradictory because each planet rules a different thing. So with that in mind, let me just tell you what that means. The sun represents the light of day. It's our core purpose. It's what we can see. It's what we can experience. It's what's right in front of our eyes. The moon represents our emotional experience. It's our feelings. It's our intuition. It's our emotional response. It's our relationship with the feminine. The cycle of woman follows the cycle of the moon. The sun is patriarchal. The moon is matriarchal. The sun is masculine. The moon is feminine. But moving onward, Mercury represents our communication. It's the speed of the mind. It's our power of the word, power of language, power of the spoken word, the sung word, lyrics, poetry, information as in its fully detailed form. Venus, the next planet out, that represents our response to love. Again, masculine, feminine. Venus is the feminine side. Venus represents love. It represents art. It represents beauty. It represents our appreciation and capacity towards harmony, rhythm, dance, music, the arts expressed. Mars is back to being a masculine planet again. Mars is the actual natural ruler of Aries, so everything I've said about Aries follows suit with Mars. Mars is motion, what we are driven to participate in, where we explode out of ourselves. Fire, 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 fire. And then next up is Jupiter. Jupiter entails our philosophical truth, the philosophical core beliefs that we follow, that we hold on to, that we live by, the standard of our own beliefs that we, you know, that we walk and talk the truth of. Whatever truth we walk and talk, that's our core belief system as represented by Jupiter. Saturn has to do with our life's work, our life's purpose, our life's, you know, struggle towards achievement, the mountains that we're climbing, and the goal at the top of the vista. Saturn is about hard work. You know, it simplifies and wants strength and efficiency. Next up is Uranus. Uranus is kind of the opposite. Uranus is all about freedom. It doesn't want anything to hold it back. And see, that's the planet that's moving tomorrow, is this planet of freedom. It wants to be able to do it its own way. It wants to have absolute, unique self-expression without any boundaries, without any hesitation. And, you know, that can be, you know, very free-flowing, but to some standards, that can also be very chaotic. It depends on whether you're a person who needs things to be more free or whether you need them to be more structured. Uranus is definitely somewhat without structure, whereas Saturn is structure. So note the difference there. Now, Neptune represents our, Neptune is the inner mystic. It's ruled by Pisces, so it's the psychic response, the intuitive response, the dream realms, our inner psychology, what makes us tick, the inner, you know, our own personal Jesus, if you will, to quote the song. It's our Christ consciousness. It's our inner Yoda. To quote myself, I call it the inner Yoda. That would be the Neptunian response. And then finally, Pluto is the destroyer. Pluto is death and rebirth. In order to get to the rebirth, keep your eye on the prize, it's all about the rebirth, but in order to get there, you have to let go of the old. Death to the old, rebirth to the new. And they absolutely, one follows the other. Cycle of life. It's the wheel, you know, the butterfly on the wheel, if you will. A butterfly is a good metaphor there as well. In order for the butterfly to become, to have its own life, it has to first let go of, it has to lay it down, it has to give up its caterpillar identity. So depending on which end of the spectrum you're looking at that equation from, when you're seeing it from the butterfly's point of view, man, success! You made it! Beauty, freedom, ultimate emergence is yours to be had. But when you're looking at the metamorphic process from the caterpillar's point of view, the caterpillar's facing the brick wall. The caterpillar's facing the guillotine. The caterpillar's facing the end of its life. It's facing its most fearful response or choice ever, because literally it has to lay down its life in order to become the new creature. So depending on which end of that spectrum you're looking at, whether you experience fear or whether you experience freedom. So see, every planet has a different response. And so one planet can be saying go, the other planet can be saying stay, the one planet can be saying get louder, the other planet can be saying be silent, and yet they all coincide. They all mean something at the same time. And that's where astrology comes in. We interpret all of the things together. It's how the different aspects blend and happen together that individuate each moment of our experience. And there's many, many more astrological layers beyond that as well. And of course, we interpret the transits of where the planets are affecting us. I went through that in the first half of our time together today. What house a planet is transiting in, and if it's specifically making angles with planets that are within us from our natal chart, that dictates experience and meaning. And as well, we can look at our return charts. That also dictates an answer, whether it's an answer for the month or an answer for the year or an answer for maturing into adulthood or any step in between there. It's another way of using astrology as a tool to find more answers. But it doesn't stop there. We can also look at our astrocartography chart. Now, if you've ever seen an astrocartography chart, you'll note that they have the map of the world, and there's all these lines going across. The lines represent the four main corners. The horizon line, the birth of the self, the fourth house, the IC, which is the nadir, which is our relationship with home. The descendant, which is our relationship with other people, and the midheaven, which is our relationship with our career, job, our personal self-definition, our reason for being on earth. Why am I here? What's my job? What's my experience? What's my life? And so as we move further east or west around the globe, there comes a point when these planets shift across those lines, and those are the lines that are represented on the chart. Now, what happens if you live somewhere where those lines aren't? But that's okay. You can just specifically plot in the longitude and latitude of where you are living or visiting or traveling through, and again, find a response. You know, the planet can be anywhere within that, anywhere beyond or around those angles. The lines represented are just those main four, but indeed they can be they can entail a greater experience. So there's many, 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 many ways to use astrology as a tool to inform our life choices, our life decisions, or even our daily decisions. Now, speaking of daily decisions, there's another aspect of using astrology called horary astrology. Horary, the root word is hourly. So, and the gist of the definition of that one is the moment that you ask a question, the answer is entailed within that moment. So as you ask a question, you cast the chart for that moment and interpret what that chart has to say. So horary astrology also brings a greater answer. You can just plot specifically the moment of the question being asked. The answer is entailed within its response. But it doesn't stop there. Everything astrological can ultimately be reduced to mathematical points. And every single person on the planet has an answer. You know, we all were born in a particular moment. And as we cast our answer, we can know what our answer is. But we can also cross-compare ourselves with other people by blending the answers together. This is called composite astrology, or relationship astrology, if you will. Blending the mathematics together. When two people come together in a romance or a partnership or what have you, in intimacy, you know, there's that ideology that two people came together and became one. It's a romantic thought, but really it's a false concept, because two people don't become one, they become three, because the individual of who each person is as a self still exists, but the us that's between the two also has a definition. It has an answer that can be plotted and interpreted that can inform you what's going on and what the relationship is about. Now, of course, everybody wants to know about their intimate loved ones, their life partners, their lovers, etc., their wife, husband, spouse, whatever, but it's not limited to that. You can deconstruct your relationship with your parents, with your children, with your boss, with your best friend, with your coworkers, with your business partners, with your bus driver, you know, any other person you can find an interpretation for, and that, you know, the answer that emerges that can inform your choices, that can inform you on not only what the energy is between the two of you, the permanent answer between the two, but it can also tell you the timing of what's happening in the now within that equation, because the timing that's between two people is going to be different than the timing of each individual within the equation. See? So astrology goes on forever and ever and ever in terms of how, you know, what its effects can tell us, what can be interpreted, what we can learn. And so to think of it just as a fortune cookie response, in that, you know, we just look up the, you know, the single paragraph answer, hi, I'm a Sagittarius, this is what it means, bam, that's the end of the story. Wrong. Astrology never stops moving. You can always go infinitely finding more and more and more explanation about what's going on in your life. We are products of not only the core answer, but we're also products of our environment. We're products of the friendships that we have, and the us response that's between those friendships also inform our life decisions. Now, astrology is exact timing, but yet within that timing, we still have free will. The way I describe it is this. Astrology gives us a structure of what's about to happen, or what is happening, but you still have a choice when you wake up in the morning, whether you put on a blue shirt or a red shirt. And so, see, free will still exists, even though astrology gives us an exact mathematical parameter, an exact time frame for when influences are going to stop, and when they're going to start, and when they're going to, you know, stop and become the next influence. So it's vast, vast, vast. It's amazing. It's incredible. And so it's definitely beyond being simple. So know yourself, know your own answer, and know that you can know the timing that informs your life. This is Mooncat. Thank you so much for listening this week on Generation Psychic at Jackalope Radio. Join me again next week, Thursday, same time, same place, and I'll be talking about more astrological concepts as they occur. But note, next week's experience will be very dynamically different from this week's, simply because of the ingress into Aries that begins tomorrow. So get ready for your life to get a move on, because trust you me, it will. It will. It's about to pick up speed in a major way. So get ready to ride the wave and surf it. Okay? So peace out, everybody. Mooncat signing off, catovertheMoon.com. Thank you for listening.